You're listening to a message from Canby Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
Them to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 28. We're actually going to go right down to verses 18 through 20. These are the last words that Jesus spoke while on this planet. We want to look at them and see what he has to say to us before he parts this place. And so this morning, we have a lot planned as we look at the second part of our two-part series on discipleship. And here's what Jesus said in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. He said, "Then Jesus came to them and he said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I command you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" If you grew up in church, how many know that verse? Okay, or those two verses? It's great. This is what we call the Great Commission, and it's been given to all those who follow, worship, and serve Jesus. This is who it's for. It's for all of us and most of us today, and if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to pray about that decision, because I know it's changed my life, and it's changed the lives of the people around you. Jesus working in us is absolutely amazing. It radicalizes our life in a way that we couldn't on our own, and so knowing Jesus makes all the difference in the world. But I want to tell you something. To make the Great Commission work in our lives, the Great Commission must first be personalized both in the heart of the disciple and in the local church. You know, we can use this as our mantra all we want, because this is what Jesus told us to do. But until you make that personal in your own heart, until you're part of a local church that makes that personal, it really doesn't take action. There's no feat to it. I mean, I love the passage. Don't we all get excited? I mean, we get excited when we hear this. All right, this is Jesus cheering us on. We go and make disciples, and then we leave, and we don't really get a whole lot done. But Jesus says you need to get some things done. And I love the operative word here. The word is not stay. The word is go. And to go, it always takes a ton of faith. And that's what Jesus is tapping into. He's tapping into our faith. So let me ask you just a few questions. What does the Great Commission look like in your life? I mean, if we're going to personalize it, what does it look like in your life? I mean, how does that play out with your neighbors, the people around you, your community, your school, your workplace? How does that look for you? And then another question is how is the gospel made real in your life today, this very moment? I mean, what's the gospel up to in you? I mean, for me to think about the work of the gospel, and when people ask me, I can give you a theological definition of the gospel. It's not hard to do. Life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's coming again. I mean, I can wrap all that up, and that's not to be downplayed at all. That is why we're here today. But how is that playing out in your life right now? I mean, is the gospel bringing you healing? Is the gospel bringing you salvation? What is going on in your family, in your personal life? And is the gospel at work there, making you a follower, disciple of Jesus Christ, becoming more like him? And so what we're going to look at just for a moment is there's a couple ways that we see that we participate in this Great Commission. In the effort that we've been asked to participate in, I think there are two things, and I'm going to make them as simple as possible. There's the sending, and there's the going. There it is. Yeah, that's it. That's really what Jesus is talking about here. Now, I know there's a lot more to the sending. I know there's a lot more to the going. But if we're going to really get down to business, this is what we want to talk about. Because in the local church here at Canby Foursquare, we use a few phrases that you've heard about. And I'm going to talk a little bit about us today. I don't do that a lot. I really don't. But when we're talking about discipleship, we need to contextualize what it is in the local church. We have to know, what does it look like? How do I identify it here in this place at Canby Foursquare Church? So some of the phrases, and as I say them, you're going to probably say them with me, is we keep the main thing, and that's Jesus Christ. The other thing that you'll hear said around here is, this is what we're all about. The reason we exist is to make disciples who make disciples for who? For Jesus. Yeah, this is what this is about. That phrase right there is actually just a refrain of the Great Commission. We just found a different way to say it, but that's what Jesus is saying. And I love the mathematical formulas of Jesus. It's not just addition. He's into multiplication. If you just go through and read his parables, if you just read stories about Jesus, he never tells you to add and subtract. He basically tells you to multiply. That's what he's doing. This is a formula for multiplication. This is not a formula for addition. It goes beyond that. Go and make disciples. It doesn't stop there. Who make disciples for Jesus Christ. That's what we want to be about. And early on in the life of this church, it was obvious we were sending and going, that we were a sending and going church. So what I want to say right now is thank you. Thank you for being a sending and going church. You probably have right now around the world thousands and thousands of relatives you might not even know. And I don't think that's overstating anything. I think that's fairly accurate, that what you have done over the last 41 years, by the way, you celebrate 41 years of existence coming this November. And so what you have done as followers of Jesus Christ to impact the world has been absolutely remarkable. And I'm so thankful for that. How many have been here since the beginning? Let's say the first 5 years. Jack and Linda, you better lift your hands there, because they are the founding pastors. You'll meet them again in just a moment. But lift your hand. Keep your hands up. How many were here? Look at this. Look at this. This is pretty rare, because I'm going to just say this. A lot of us are dead. And so, no, we're still around. We're still hanging out, man. And so I love that. I love that we came 10 years after this church got started. And thank you, Jack and Linda. Thank you to all those that lifted your hands and those that just came afterwards, too. It's been an amazing journey. And I'm going to tell you why this is a going and sending church, why the DNA is going and sending, because our first pastors, Jack and Linda, and our former pastors, Jim and Connie Kingsbury, both left here, left this place, left this church. You sent them to be missionaries. That's what you did. And so when I came, it was a lot of fun, but people were a little paranoid. And I remember this because Juanita Champ came up to me. Juanita might be here the second service, I don't know. But she came up to me. I mean, I was only here 2 or 3 days, so I'm a punk, you know. I'm just really, and here you face this woman of faith, and she just looks at me, and she, how many know Juanita? You know when she, okay, you, yeah, you know, when I do like this, you know what we're talking about. She looked at me, and she said, and you better not go to the mission field. That's what she said. Really? So you better not go to the mission field. And all I did was say, yes, ma'am. I just saluted, and I still do. And it's 31 years later, so she still carries that clout in my life. But when she said that, I thought, oh, we've got to do some things here that keep us going and sending. And maybe it's just not me going to the mission field. By the way, it was 12 years later I made my first trip almost around the world to Sri Lanka. Of all places, I chose the number one destination for terrorism is really what I chose to go, and Annette was a little nervous, but went there, and the gospel's just flourishing in Sri Lanka, still is today. That was the first trip I really made. But we did some things to really make this work, to be a going and sending church. We needed to kind of get our house in order. Let's kind of organize some things so we can be that church that God has called us to be. And one of the first things we did, one of the first big decisions that was made here at this church, was I was approached 2 or 3 weeks after I'd been here by a couple of the council members who are probably hearing this today. And they looked at me and they said, hey, we need to talk to you. And I thought, my goodness, I've only preached 3 times. Am I fired already? That's what I thought, you know. And they said, no, we need to talk to you. We haven't been tithing for a while, and we really don't think that's the way God wants us to live. And I looked at these people, these families, and I thought, it's amazing that that would be one of the first things that you would address. That told me a whole lot about the DNA of this place. And I said, okay, we need to get this on the ball. And so what I did is I called our leaders, our bishops, our district office, and I said, hey, I understand. I just found out that we hadn't been tithing, and we want to start next month, but we don't only want to start tithing next month. We want to start paying back tithe. And he said, you want to what? And I said, we want to start paying back tithe. He goes, you know there's no such thing. And I said, there is for us. And he goes, you know, you don't have to do that. And I said, I know we don't have to do that, but here's what I know. I know that if we get in a jam 5 years from now, we're going to look back and we are going to believe that it was because we did not begin to tithe and we did not assume a responsibility of being generous. I said, that cannot happen in this church. This church is a good church. It is a generous church, and we're not going to leave that. We're just not going to leave that space open. And so I said, could you give us like maybe 18 months or so we can back tithe? He goes, yeah, this is still blowing my mind. He said, because I've never heard the phrase before, but he said, this is really good. And so I just told everybody, this is what we're doing. We're going to take 18 months. Can I tell you something? We started tithing on that day, did not stop tithing, and we made up the back tithe in 3 months, not 18 months. It took 3 months. I want to tell you, that's the generosity that exists here. And can I tell you one of the number one marks, and I want you to hear this, one of the number one marks or characteristics of a going and sending church is generosity. It's number one. And the reason I know that is because one of the number one evangelistic verses in the Bible is what? John 3:16. For God so loved the world, you got to finish it, that he gave. God's a going and sending God. His son Jesus in heaven did not hold on to the advantage he had, Philippians chapter 2, but he released that and he went. He came to us. You see, it's in the DNA of the God you worship to be a going, ascending God. Be a giver. The next decision we made early on was this. Council got together, and I said, wow, we've got to really make some decisions about being a going and sending church. We're tithing now. We're doing all those things. Here's another one. We need to do this. We cannot let our mortgage be 15%. It cannot be above 15% of our general fund. That was kind of unheard of because there's a lot of places that are 20, 30, 40, 50% of their general fund. And we're just looking at each other and we said, we've got to do this. And the reason we got to do this, this is so important, when God says go, when he says go, we've got to go. When God says go, the impact on our mortgage could never be our first concern. When God says go, you shouldn't be sitting around trying to calculate with your little calculator, well, what's it going to do to the mortgage here? We can't think of those things. That's why we've got to be a generous church. And today, your mortgage is only 7 to 8% of your general fund. It's remarkable. You have a 15-acre beautiful campus, and it's only 7 to 8%. Why? Because we invest in going and sending. We always do. We're just going to be that. But decisions, intentionality about being that. There needs to be intentionality in the local church. There needs to be intentionality in your life. How do you play a part of this going and sending? You might not be the person that gets up and goes, but you might be involved in the sending. You might be the person that gets up and goes, and you're going to see a few of those in just a moment, but you need people who help send you. See, there's a partnership here that we want to make sure happens. So what is our legacy? What is the thing that we talk about? Our legacy would be people more than buildings. And I know a lot of people say that, but you mean it. You mean it for a lot of reasons, and I can see it. I love this. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20. It says this, for what is our hope? This is the Apostle Paul speaking. What is our hope? What is our joy? Or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes again? Is it our buildings? Is it our accomplishments? Is it our trophies? No. He says, is it not you? Indeed, you are the glory and joy. You're our reward. So the people that you lead to faith in Jesus Christ, those are the people you're going to hang out with in heaven. And when you get to heaven, you're going to have this glory and joy because you see them in eternity with you. That's the reward. That's the legacy. That's the legacy. By the way, this was the first message I preached 31 years ago today, my first sermon here at this church. 31 years have passed. It is no different. It's the same. You know, when you're young, you just say this. You say this, well, this is going to be what we do. And everybody's going, yeah. And then it gets tested. 31 years later, I can say, this is what we do. We have done, we will do, and we always will do. Our glory is people. I believe this is God's will. I believe this is what he's called us to do. When God says go, we go. And over the years, this church has been on an amazing journey. We've sent out missionaries around the world, Europe, Mediterranean, Africa, Mexico, South America, and beyond. We started or helped dozens of churches. Dozens of churches. You know, back in the early 2000s, this church for 6 or 8 years was for the Northwest, the sending place, the training place. And out of this place, we started about 600-700 churches right out of here that you were involved in personally sending out. I mean, of your own heart, like Paul says about Onesimus, he said, I'm sending him back to you, my very heart. You've been involved with 20 of those. That's a going. That's a sending church. One particular church comes to my mind because we just celebrated its 20th anniversary from this place we sent. You know where we sent it? We sent this people, this group to, of all places, Berea, Kentucky. Isn't that amazing? Berea, Kentucky. Where's that? Berea, Kentucky is a long way away. It's 2,600 miles. Go east. That's where it's at. It got started because one of the guys that served here, Tim Pollison, got a transfer in his job, Edward R. Jones, back to Richmond, Kentucky, calls me a few months later. He says this. He says, Ron, he goes, we don't have churches like Canby Four Square here in Berea. He says, I'm not trying to badmouth anybody, but my goodness, we have either snake handlers or Baptists that are just ticked off at each other, first, second, third, fourth Baptist churches. We got to get something that really can help make things happen. And I asked him this. I said, are you the pastor? He said, no. Later he would be, but he wasn't at that point. I said, okay, will you give 20% of your tithe, and will you be willing to catch the people who come? He said, absolutely. The next Sunday, we had a pastor who was on rest, and he was resting here at this church, and he was a church planner. He was on the worship team, and he's walking off the platform in the other building, and I'm walking up just like I do, and I looked at him, and I said, think about going to Kentucky, and his head just spun around about 10 times. Sat there looking at me like, what did he just say? The next week, he's in my office with his wife, and he said, we've got to go to Kentucky. The church started. Waves of people left here, probably 60 to 80. They left. They went to Kentucky. Berea got started because mainly the Paulson family. Ken, thank you, the older brother, is here, and there's others that are around. And I tell you, the Paulsons have done a great job there. They've led that church. It's been remarkable. And over the years, they've turned it over to someone who grew up in the Appalachians, who is now pastoring. Tim and Ann Paulson, or Lawson, are the pastors there now. And we're so thankful. This is remarkable. They just celebrated last week. They asked me to do a little video for them. Last week, they celebrated their 20th anniversary. Man, it was pretty remarkable. Look, we have Steve Gustafson who's there. He's kind of in the middle there. He's using that sound. He was back there. The Paulsons are there. Families are there. They have started churches. They have sent out missionaries. So you have multiplied. You have made disciples who make disciples for Jesus Christ. Just applaud that. Would you do that? I mean, I think that's pretty remarkable. I think that's incredibly remarkable. It's amazing. So what we do is we go and we send. The most recent that you saw was the 2 weeks ago, the transition with James Walton, with Dave Metzger, and with Mark Smith and their families. And that's always hard, isn't it? I mean, it sounds funny. We just all applauded that, and then we realized, oh, that hurts. It costs us something. Can I say this to you? I've never said this a lot. I know it hurts you, but it really hurts me a whole lot because I spend weeks and weeks and hours and months with these young leaders. This is what I do. Some interns asked me about 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, what do you want people to know about what you do that they don't know? And I said, the hours and hours you invest in other people's lives, making disciples that make disciples. So James and their family, and here it is, the hard part of sending and going. We miss the ones that we send. Can I say this? I don't control that. Because there's some that I'd say, oh, good, I'm glad they're going. You know, it's like, boy, wow, that really was slick right out the door, man. Yahoo! But then there's others you can't plan on, and you're going, oh, no, I didn't know they would go. I didn't know these people. I didn't know that was going to happen. Grandmas and grandpas. Lynn Storley, been here from the beginning. Just a minute, he's going to see his kids head out the door. They're going to Albania. had grandmas get mad at me because I was so excited about this. And then I realized, I'm in trouble with grandmas and grandpas because I'm sending their grandkids away. I apologize. But part of the sending and going is there's a master plan, and I'm not the planner. People have asked for what's your big picture? I said, I don't have one. It's what God's doing. It's where the Holy Spirit leads. I love that. Listen, I feel the loss. What we're doing, sending James and Courtney and the family, they're missionaries in the business world. You're only seeing this publicly and think, when does that happen a lot? Yeah, Ryan and Annie, Ronnie and Sarah. I can name you a lot of people that have attended Canby Bible College who have graduated, and they're in the business world as missionaries for Jesus Christ. This isn't that uncommon. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, for all you conspiracy theorists, because we've heard there's a few, we're just going to address this. There is no conspiracy. No one's getting shoved out the door. This was all a beautiful thing because they said, I think people aren't, listen, would you just put your mind at ease? Please do this. Here's what I got to discipline myself to do. Do not let your vain imagination taint the move of God's Holy Spirit. Please don't do that because this was good. What God did. Is it hard? Yeah, because I hurt. Sometimes I feel there got to be another reason. There isn't. It's a God reason. And then what happens in the going and sending, something else takes place, is God sends others to Canby Four Square Church, like Mark and Ashley Smith. God sends them to this place. Mark, you're already making an impact because I called Jerry Campanetti. Jerry is our amazing man who makes this facility look really nice. You know who he is? He's incredible. I needed his help last week. I'm thinking, I got to call Jerry. He knows everything, So I called Jerry, and Jerry says, hello. And I said, Jerry, this is your favorite pastor. And he goes, hi, Mark. That's no kidding, man. I said, oh, this is your second favorite pastor. No, hi there. And he goes, no, I didn't mean it. And I said, yeah. Come on, man. I know what's going on here. I said, this is so cool. But what happens is this. You got to remember that the people God sends here, their yes to leave somewhere is just as hard and as powerful and as effective as us sending. Do you get the picture here? For the Ashleys to leave Cambodia, end up here, wasn't easy. Sometimes we believe that it's easier to go when it's leaving a developing nation. That isn't America. We think, well, that's easier to do. No, it's not. That's not easy, because that's not what that's about. It wasn't easy to leave this place and to come to a place like this. The Smiths left people in Cambodia that they loved, that loved them, that cared for them, that they did life with, that they had relationship with. It's not easy. You can't play that down. It's just as hard. The going and sending is never an easy thing. Kenyan students that are here, thank you. Thank you for your coming here, and everyone's going, wow, they're here. Caleb, I know. Daniel, Isaac. It's not easy to leave your home. You're coming here to get trained and go back and be nation changers. Thank you. It's not easy to do. So we're going to send out today. So Jack and Linda, why don't you come on up here? I want you to meet the founding pastors of Canby Four Square Church. Hey, thanks, guys. Yeah, you guys are pretty nice guys. You know that. Gave me a job. We got to serve on staff, actually, at Portland Four Square Church before I came here. And Jack and Linda had already left here and went and then came back. And they both came to our house to have lunch, dinner or something. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to be here, but Mom was the word. You just don't say anything. And they sat in our living room when we didn't even have kids, I don't think, or we were just starting to have a family. And they said to us, we think you guys are the next pastors of Canby Four Square Church. And we said, that's so nice of you. And we just walked out. We couldn't say anything because it wasn't the time. But we wanted to be here, and we're so thankful that we've been able to do this. So Jack and Linda planted this church. They went back. You left here, you went off to Brazil, hanging out there for a while, and you were in the northwest part of Brazil, northeast part of Brazil, and then you came back for a little bit, but then went back to Belém, and you were there for quite a while. Just what they've done in Brazil is remarkable. They've been training pastors time and time again, just a lot of pastoral needs that they bring a lot to the table. They bring a lot of groceries to help people out there. And I mean, in the spiritual sense, people can feed there. They're now being asked to go back to Rio de Janeiro, right out Ipanema. They're going back there, and they are being asked by three younger pastors in their churches, if they would go and stay for a year or so, hang out with them and train them. Can you say amen to that? This is good. You guys are pretty, I would imagine it's pretty exciting. Because it is your second home.
It is.
It's amazing. You want to say anything? I got a microphone. Oh, there it is. Good.
Yeah, it is our second home down in Brazil. We're just as comfortable there as we are here. Maybe even more so. And God put this relationship in Ipanema on our hearts 2 years ago. And we've seen some remarkable things happen the last two times we've been there. And so we decided that this is a good time in our lives to respond and go down and spend a minimum of a year. We've committed to a year. And we'll see. We're getting older, so we don't want to commit more than 1 year at a time. But but we'll see what God does. But it's going to be an exciting time. And the other churches that we've been involved with down there has also been a God thing, the way it's come about. So we're anticipating helping develop some leadership training and do a lot of mentoring. And they said, we need father figures. So I guess because we're old enough now, we have to go down and be father figure. We get to go down and be father figures.
It works that way.
Yeah, it works that way. And help them principally structure and restructure in one case.
That's good.
And so we've had a little experience, so God's going to help us do that. But thank you. We appreciate your prayers, you guys. This is our home church, and we love the prayer base that's here.
Amen.
Amen. We get to one of the things. Thank you, guys. One of the things that we're able to do is you're supporting them financially. There's a support that you have provided because there were decisions made a long time ago so we could do things like this. Mm. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is just extend your hands forward. We are sending the Gustafsons to Brazil. And we're thanking Jesus. Father, this isn't the first time. It might not even be the last time that Jack and Linda will be going and be sending. We'll be going and we'll be sending. In the Bible, that's called an apostolic gift, and we just thank you for that. Lord, we just pray that an apostolic mantle would rest on them, that they would speak into the lives of others. It's now where we're talking to those that were fathers and grandfathers. We're able to share a perspective. Lord, let this be embraced. Let this be something that makes a difference in these churches and in Brazil. We send them now in the name, the powerful name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. They're leaving pretty soon, so you can talk to them right after the service. Thanks, brother. Thank you. Thank you. This is pretty fun. Storleys, why don't you guys come on up here? I know you're over here somewhere. There you are. Okay. Good, good. Ileana, don't make a lot of noise, please, okay? So come on up here. This is Christiana and Jordan Storley. This is Ileana, their baby, their new baby. And this is pretty amazing. So what we're going to do right now is, you know, we have Albanian friends. In fact, Sean Mason, who's the pastor of Korça in Albania, is Jordan's best friend. And by Jordan going back and forth to Albania when he was there, met Christiana. Christiana was the daughter of the former pastor of Korça. And look at how this web gets, you know, it happens. It's international, and this is kind of like the body of Christ here. And so we're going to do two things together today with Jordan and Christiana. You guys are supporting them as well, is we are going to send them, but we're also going to dedicate Ileana today. We are just going to take a little special time. And we want to dedicate her. So let's do first things first, because she's resting right now. We, mom and dad, like this. And so we do baby dedications, and I think people know this, that we're always asked, you know, when do you look for leaders? When do you look for those members in the body of Christ? It's here, right now. I say when I dedicate them as babies, because here's the deal. God knew this child before she was born, while she was being formed in her mother's womb, that is the breath of God. That is the call of God. That is the purpose of God. And we just want to, in baby dedications, call that out prophetically. And so what we're going to do is speak into this child's life in Jesus' name, with mom and dad here, with grandpa here. We're just so thankful that we have this privilege. So today what we're going to do is we dedicate Eliana to Jesus Christ, and we commit her to the hands of a God who loves. So we just thank you for this child. Eliana, Ilya in Hebrew, is going up, the ascent, the journey. And Lord, we just pray that the journey that would be in this child's life would be the journey and the purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this child would touch the Balkans. This child would touch the lands that she is going to. And Lord Jesus, even though we might not see every detail of her growing up, we just send her in the powerful name of Jesus. We dedicate her to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And we say amen. Amen. You can applaud. I think she's okay now. Is she all right? So Jordan and Christiana, we are so proud of both of you and that you're going. And I apologize to Lynn and Cindy Storley, who are here, you know, grandparents. But that means they just have to make more trips. We will actually, Annette and I and Doug and Lori will be headed there in November to do some training, leadership training in the Balkans. And so we'll get to hang out a bit. So we're looking forward to that. But we want to thank you for God's call in your life and what you have said yes to. Do you want to say anything? Okay. Do you want to say anything? Come on, Jordan.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to thank the leaders here at this church for the support they've given us and the guidance, and because it's so hard to figure out what you're doing when you don't know what you're doing. I was just called to follow the Lord when I was a little kid, and I ran so long to get away from that calling. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy how the Lord got me in the end, no matter what I did. Yeah. And I want to thank you for being there for us.
Yeah, thank you guys. So, you guys are the ones saying yes. Jordan, thank you. You came, how old were you? You were grade school when you showed up here?
I was like 6 or 5.
He was 5 or 6, so he's been here at Canby Four Square since he was 6 years old. He's an old man now, but back then he was a young guy, so I got to take a few shots. I only get a little more time here, so we want to thank you for saying yes and going to a place that is ripe for the gospel. I really believe the Balkans is a place where you're seeing the gospel spread after the reign of communism, civil war, all kinds of things. There's something going on right now that's pretty remarkable. Let's be part of it. Let's be part of it. Not just in the word, but we are part of this indeed. So going and sending. Father, we just thank you for Jordan and Christiana, and we just ask in Jesus' name that you would bring the gospel and make it alive. We send back to them our very heart so that they could be profitable as they were profitable here. They can be profitable in Korcha, in Albania, in Macedonia, in Montenegro, in Croatia, in Greece, in Sarajevo areas, in all of those areas, Lord. We pray the gospel would spread, and we just thank you. And we pray for this family. Cover them and keep them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Love you.
Love you.
Yeah. This is so easy. This is what we do. And I'm going to just thank each one of these families for their saying yes to going and sending. And I'm going to just finish with this today. What are we required to do? And why is it important that we're part of a community like this that actually has an investment in the kingdom and around the world? There are 5 quick things that you can write down. Why is it important? What's the big deal? Why should I belong to a local church? Because this is what happens. This is what we do here. You can't do this. This doesn't happen in a lot of other places. Number one, we do this We belong to a local community because there's a biblical reason. Can I say this? Jesus is committed to you. He's committed to this church. And if you're waiting around for plan B to kick in, it's not going to kick in because he only has plan A, and it's you, the bride of Christ. It's the local church. There's no other plan. He doesn't have an alternative plan. It's the body of Christ. It's the local church, and always has been. We are the sending, going agents for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:25, Paul puts it into family terms. He says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Christ has given himself up for the church, for the bride, for you. This is a biblical reason to be connected to a local church. The second is a cultural reason. And I want to say this, the church is called, Jesus says, you are to be salt. You're to be light. And what do those things do? They preserve and they shine. They preserve and they shine. Basically what he's saying, the absence of the body of Christ, there is no world, there is no earth, there is no culture, there are not communities. It's because he's called us to be salt and light. It's the antidote for society today. It's the antidote that God says, here, this is salt and light. You are the salt and light. So be committed to a local church. If it's not here, please be committed somewhere to a local church. Find a local church to be part of. This isn't just a pastor preaching this because I want money or any. That's not the gig. The gig is this. You've got to be committed to a local church to invest in kingdom, to benefit the reward and be part of the pain of sending. But I'm going to tell you something. It is something God has called us to. Kingdom things only happen where God's people commit to getting Jesus things done. It's part of the local church. Annette and I, when we first came here 31 years ago today, we came here and we made a commitment to this community, to you. And I'm going to tell you what the commitment is, or was, still is. This would be the first and only church we would ever pastor. And it is. I'm at the end of this now. You get the picture? Are you seeing a little bit of the trajectory here? I'm too old to go anywhere now, so you're stuck. You know, it's like, okay. But it was the commitment 31 years ago. And it's the commitment that still stands today. My exit interview out of the last church. They sat me down. They gave me an exit interview. You know what they said to me? They said, oh, well, wow, you're going to Canby. That can really be a stepping stone for you, and then you'll come back here and pastor the big church. I got so offended. I didn't even know you yet. I was so offended. I stood up and I said, that place is not a stepping stone for anybody. That place is a place that deserves God's best, and we hope we are. We just hope we are, because when we go, when we were sent 31 years ago to come here, the commitment was this would be the only place we would ever be. And it is the only place. Can't get rid of us. So that's the call of God. That is absolutely the call of God. So remember that. Be committed. We've been that way. We want to be that way. Here's a third reason. A practical reason is this. Practical reason is being part of and committed to a local church helps define who can be counted on to accomplish the vision and the call of the kingdom. Do you guys see this? This isn't just about what goes on in the box here. There were choices we made a long time ago to make it not all about what happens this is important, but it's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about the kingdom of God. And it's about the local church expressing the life of Jesus. So it's who's part of that. Every team has a roster. Every school has an enrollment. Businesses have a payroll. Armies have enlistments. In this place, we can count on those who serve and give and go. That's what this is about. It's about going. It's about being part of that process. Brett Pulver has been here, how many days after I came? Like you said, 6 weeks after we got here. I'm sorry for the, everything there. But they came, and I don't know if you know this, but every morning when you come in here and go through this facility and you send your kids to classes, you ever wonder who turns on the lights and the heat? You ever wonder who kind of goes around and prays over this place before you show up this morning? These are people that are part of that committed, I want to see this happen. I want to be part of a vision. Brett and so many others like Brett have done this. And so Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says, "Brothers and sisters, if anyone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently." Happens here in this kind of context. "But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each one's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ." To carry one another's burdens, you need to be with one another. Just simple. Proximity makes all the difference in the world. Location, location, location. And then Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." D, capital D, day approaching, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Next Sunday, September 15th, after this service, after the 11 o'clock, we're going to meet, Annette and I want to meet with those that maybe haven't been here very long and we haven't been able to meet with or talk to. We're going to do that in the patio just so we can connect with you. You can connect with us. We just want to hang out a little bit. I think there's a little food going on too. So that's really good. Today, those small group leaders are going to meet with Mark and Ashley and myself and Annette and Dave, and we're going to talk about that. And so that's going to happen today. So here it is. The fourth reason is a personal reason. Being part of a local church produces spiritual growth. Accountability happens best in committed relationships. I think you know that. With others in the church as well, in the church family. Ephesians 5, 21, the Apostle Paul said, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Not out of demand, not out of obligation. It's out of a reverence for Christ Jesus. And I can just think of the numbers of people in this place that there is a commitment in my life to them out of reverence. There is a submission to them because this is the place you're accountable. 2 weeks from today, September 29th, is one of the greatest things we do, and that is water baptism. And there are already a lot of people signed up. We want more to sign up. That is that commitment. That's what it means to be accountable, to say to a local church, "Here I am, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I want you to know, and I want you to be part of it." Small groups, there's things there that could go on, so we want you to make sure. You got one of these when you came in? Because when I came back in, they gave me one, so you must have got one too. So here it is. This is the next pamphlet. Go through this. This kind of shows you what's going on. This is how you can be accountable. MTI is happening. Canby Bible College, internship, small groups, home groups, Bible studies, women, men. All of it's going on. You do not lack any choices. Someone comes to me and says, "Well, I just can't find any place." I said, "Man, you ain't looking. Because there is a ton of places to slide in. It just takes courage. It just takes that step of faith." So there are places that can happen. And here is the last thing, the functional reason to be part of a local church, to be part of a local church allows for the benefits to participate in God's kingdom with each other. This is kind of a repeat, but it's really what it means. The Bible tells us there is a spiritual covering and a protection in the body of Christ, that us together, for leaders that are part of this, the pastors, the elders, the council members, the small group people that have been called to lead. It says this in Hebrews 13, 17. It says, "Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority." That's a tough one sometimes for us, because they keep watch over you as you must be given account. "Do this that their work will be enjoyable, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you." You know, for us to be submitted to one another means we need to be submitted. I'm submitted to people here. I'm submitted to authorities in my life that oversee me. And I want that to be able to trickle down to all of us. That's a tough one today, isn't it? That's one when we read that, sometimes our feathers get ruffled. Our feathers should not get so ruffled as they should feel comforted, because that is the reason that that's here. Is so you can live quiet and peaceable lives, because you know that there's spiritual authority in place, and God brings it in and He takes it out. When I first came here, one of the decisions I made, just so, it's simple, it's easy, it's just a little thing, but I felt it made all the difference in the world. And I have it between my two hands right now. We had a big pulpit, and that was good for the time. We needed that. I stood behind it, and there were two reasons I thought, I can't do that. One was a little vain. One was because you couldn't see me behind it. That was one. But the other is what it may show as being a barrier between us, because we're on the journey together. I thought about it for a while, prayed about it, talked to Annette about it. And I said, I need a music stand, because it's the only time they'll let me stand behind a music stand. They don't let me sing. They don't let me play instruments. So I'll stand behind a music stand right now. But there's a symbolic reason that some of you don't know about. Music stands you can move around. I just need to be reminded every time I step up here, this is a privilege. This is an honor. Because someday God will say, well, we're going to just move your music stand right over here. See how easy that was? It wasn't a pulpit. I couldn't do that with a pulpit. But it reminds me, I don't know if it reminds you of anything, but it reminds me that all of us have short lives. This is temporary. We're not here forever. God is the one who brings us and he takes us. He brings us and he takes us. I'm just grateful that our coming and being here is longer than most. But I'm still reminded that it's not permanent. The body of Christ, what Jesus has done, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Put your eyes on him. Pay attention to him. And the way that we cast our vision in him is that we do this together. And there's a beauty in that. There's a power in that. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Go ahead and stand with me. I'm glad that you came today. I hope this was beneficial to you and for many of you.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.